Hey guys, it's Sam Burwell, your host of Diamond Mind Results Podcast. And as promised, we are back here with the one and only Corey Jackson, a living, walking testimony and success story. You already know his story. If you don't know it, then won't you just swipe up one time, go to the episode one, where we get into the story of how he left the city of Baltimore to come to the city of Philadelphia with nothing on his back but his hopes and dreams of making it. And guess what, guys? He's on his way and doing that. So here's round two. We gotta get a better. All right, so to everybody out there, we are truly enjoying ourselves. We gotta get a better way of starting this thing off other than laughing. Hey guys, this is Sam Burwell, your host of Diamond Mind Results. I'm sitting here with Mr. Corey Jackson himself, and he's dropping some jewels on me right now, and we're having a good time. So with that being said, I want to get right back into the information of you being in Philadelphia. Tell me about the program that you were in. I hear that you were in a recovery house. You were working while you were in the recovery house, wind up leaving the program early from doing well, being able to graduate, getting into your own apartment. Explain to me that process, because I'm sure it wasn't easy. I'm sure you was around other people who probably weren't trying to do as much as you were. So how did you remain to stay focused in that time?
Well, I just saved a couple of checks, man, from my job. I felt like I worked really hard for my money, and I wanted to something to show for it. It wasn't a problem being in the recovery house. I just felt like that I was more of a bad influence on the house at that stage in my process, because I was the only one working and was moving forward. And at the same time, of that being positive towards people, they didn't see me put in as much work as they would have liked to, if that makes any sense.
What do you mean, seeing you put in as much work as they did?
As far as them having to do things pertaining to the program, I didn't participate in a lot of those activities because I was at work.
Got you. Okay, let's back up. So for everybody who don't know, tell us about, when you're in a recovery house, what are your obligations to the house?
Well, pretty much is that you have to make 3 meetings a day. You have to do a house meeting. You have to do an outside meeting. You also have to do a group meeting. And you also have to do a chore in the house. You also have to work staff at the drop of the program. And I just wasn't meeting all of those needs. I made as many meetings as I could around my schedule, and I still had my chore that was completed, but I didn't eat there. I didn't do anything there except sleep. I probably was only there maybe 5 hours out of the day just to get some sleep to go back to work the next day. And my weekends were pretty much filled up with personal time, so I didn't want to. I felt like I was spending more money than I had to being there, and I was holding people back from their process. So I decided to step away from it, just to move out of the house, but still be involved in the program as much I could, as best I could.
So by you having a job, working, and you developing yourself, you felt as though you was holding back the house because you weren't being involved at the other activities that was necessary for the house. Right. And one of those things that you were doing with not being at the house, you were spending a lot more time at the main hub where you said you had to do volunteer hours. You were spending time there. Tell us, by you spending time there at the main building, how was that part critical in your personal development with staying focused?
Yeah, that part is definitely critical, because by me being at the hub as much as I was, like, I would get off of work, take a shower, and literally go straight to the main hub. And I would spend the rest of my night there for the most part.
Why?
Because that's what kept me grounded. That's what kept my head clear. That's what kept me clean for the most part. Because being at the main hub was like, I was able to see other people using and give me a reminder of what I didn't want to go back to. And it also, that it is a major part of why I am where I am today, because at that point is what made me realize this is my opportunity to not have to work outside and break my back, but also would give me the opportunity to stay grounded and have a job at this company.
So one of the things that's critical to me that you said off air when we were having a discussion is you moved out, you got your own place, and you were spending a lot of time at the main hub where you used that as a way to help yourself stay clean. And again, you have a success story that was full of bumps and bruises along the way. You wind up being in a relationship with someone. And tell us about the time where you were doing volunteer work and you walked in to find out that person OD'd, and how being here was able to help you out with pushing past that time.
Yeah, I was at work, and I got off of work and I came home to my girlfriend at the time. She had OD'd and she was on the floor, on the foot of my bed, dead when I got off of work. And that was a really, really tough time. But when I left that situation, not leaving the house or the apartment or whatever, but when everything was over, when the coroners came and got her, I went straight to the main hub and I talked about it and I discussed it in meetings the next day and throughout that week. And I actually went back to the recovery house for 2 weeks at following that day. Because that's what the director of my company told me to do. He said that it would help me, and it did. But I wanted to use and I didn't.
How were you able to stay strong through that with not using?
My program. I owe it all to my program. I owe a lot, man. I owe my life to my program. My program saved my life. And I like to tell a lot of people that it's not even really the program that saved, it's the city of Philadelphia that saved my life, because I wasn't home with the ability or with the surroundings that I had at home to influence me or to help me along the way of going back using again. I thank God and I thank Philadelphia so much, man, for that. It just the determination set back in, like, why would I go and use because my girlfriend just used an OD. It just didn't make sense to me.
That's very critical. And I want to thank you for being able to share that. So as you can see, the road to success is not easy. And I know that a lot of people, they see the end game, but they don't know what goes on in the process of getting there. And truly, this success story has been full of bumps and bruises, but I think that everything you've gone through to make you stronger, because I know, especially for you, it was all about helping that person who passed away on you. For you, you walked away from your recovery house so that the other guys could continue to develop to do what they needed to do, because you were only not at the meetings because you were working. Because when you weren't working, you were at the meetings. So in this process of being in Philadelphia, it seems like you did a whole lot in your personal development that had nothing to do with you but about helping other people. And that's very critical and a big thing, and I want to applaud you for doing that. So tell me, this process, what was going on? Because now you work for the company that you were in rehab with, correct?
Yeah.
Tell me about that, and how was that transition, and how were you able to make that possible? Because for those of you who don't know, I'm going to just say the last 90 days he told me about before he worked there, he spent countless hours of volunteer work of doing the job, knowing the job, mastering the job to the point where they had no choice but to give him the job. So I just really think that was just awesome. And just seeing you go through that process, man, it's the stuff that you do see in movies. But I saw it in real life, and I just want to applaud you for that. But tell us more in detail what was taking place with that.
Well, the long story short, I lost my job cutting the trees down because the guy wouldn't take me anymore. His wife or something told him, don't take me anymore, whatever the case may be. So I lost my job in July, and like the first week of July. And I had nothing else to do except continue to try to get a job at my program. And it was like, whatever, I felt like they were sending me through loops and just ignoring me. But I gave them 3 months of free work before they actually even said that they would hire me. But that was because my determination set in. I'm gonna work here. I'm gonna get out of the element. I'm not gonna be breaking my back. I wanna help people. And I kept that focus. I want to stay clean. I got to stay clean by any means.
And you spoke that into existence.
I spoke it into existence. And here I am, you know what I'm saying, working for my program. I love my job, you know what I'm saying? I love my job. It's a whole lot easier going to work when you don't feel like you're actually working.
So for everybody who is listening, because I'm pretty sure y'all heard the first episode, and if you didn't, please go back to the first episode and hear how we got started and hear how we got to where we are now. Leaving the city of Baltimore, coming to Philadelphia, getting a job within his first 2 months. That was very hard, strenuous, a struggle, but it was easy for you because you were determined to do it. You were determined to get that job. You were determined by any means necessary to make it possible. When you lost that job, you did not give up. You did not start using again. You did not start living a life of crime again. You instead turned that opportunity that was lemons and made lemonade. And now you have an opportunity where you're actually working at the place that helped you save your life. And you're about to get a W-2 from the city of Philadelphia with no idea of having it. Man, so, man, applaud to you again, man. Kudos to you for doing that, man. How does that feel?
Man, it feels great. It feels great, man. Like, I'm living my best life for real right now. I ain't lying. Like real talk. I really feel like I'm actually able to contribute to the world at this point. Because it's not only that I'm paying taxes, but I'm saving lives. You know what I mean? I'm actually saving lives now. I'm helping other people stay clean. I'm helping other people succeed and move forward. Not just people from Baltimore, people from Philadelphia who weren't able to see the light at the end of that tunnel. I'm showing them the light now. Like, look, this is where it's at. Look down that tunnel right there. You'll see some light at the end of it. And it feels great, man. It really does. Of course, I still have ups and downs, and who doesn't? You know what I mean? But it's just been a whole lot easier for me to overcome things here in Philadelphia than I ever had the opportunity to do so in life.
Well, that's a blessing, man. We're going to get right back into it. We're just going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back. And please, if you like what you're hearing, please share this podcast with a friend. Remember, the focus is on you, not the glitz and glamour. We are here to help people. And Mr. Corey Jackson is the epitome of that. His whole process of being in Philadelphia, he's done nothing but help people, which, in my opinion, I believe that's the reason why you are receiving the blessings you're doing now. So with that being said, stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. This is Sam Burwell again with Diamond Mind Results, where the focus is on you, not the glitz and glamour. But today, the focus is all on Mr. Corey Jackson. I really want to get into, what does the future hold for you? So I know you said you had a program of start. Well, you go ahead and say it, but I want to know, you know, what's the future held for Mr. Corey Jackson, who worked himself up in the city of Philadelphia, who's now helping others? What's next for you?
I'm going to open my own program. It might be a branch of one of the programs out here. maybe the program that I'm in or that I'm a part of or a sister program. But either way, I'm starting my own program. I want to take this back to Baltimore. I want to help people there. Thankfully, I didn't lose my house. I was able to pay my property tax. So I still have my house in Baltimore, and now, like, everything happens for a reason, and I feel like, man, Philadelphia has really helped me so much and has taught me what I really want to do in life, and what I really want to do is open up a program in Baltimore with the teachings that Philadelphia has taught me.
And give back.
You know, and that's pretty much it, man. That's the end-all, be-all. Once I have that, you know, I'm just going to spend the rest of my days in trying to help people, man, try to get people move forward in success.
And we didn't even touch on the fact that you have a child and how you are now being a beacon of hope, a beacon of life for that child. How does it feel now knowing that you're making a big change in your life and you can now be something that you know that you can be proud of for your child?
Well, my daughter has always been a daddy's girl. She always loved me to death, but I've become a better parent now. I've become a better parent. My daughter's mother, she loves it, and within the next school year, she will be joining me in Philadelphia as well. You know, and that's just incredible. That's incredible for me because I have been begging and asking for years for me to have custody of my daughter, and finally my daughter's mother said, "Whenever you want her, you can come get her," and that's success in itself right there, man.
Like, that's beautiful. That's very beautiful. Now, to people who are listening, who are in your situation, who may have been facing some of the things that you were facing, what is a personal word you have to them? So somebody right now, let's say, you know, they may not be in the exact same situation as you, but whatever it is in life, because we all have little things that get us down. What is a word of advice that you have to help them stay focused and get back up?
Just determination, man. Like I just was saying off the air, by any means, you gotta want success as bad as you want to breathe. As bad as you need the air outside to breathe, you need success. It feels so much better to just wake up and know that the only worry that you have is something just small. Like your worries become so much easier to deal with when you just stay positive and stay clean. Whatever it is that you're going through right now, somebody else is going through something 10 times worse. In a 10 times worse situation, in a 10 times worse city. You know what I mean? Just take what you got and run with it by any means.
That's beautiful words. So thank you. So to everyone who's listening out there, make sure you stay focused on whatever it is and have determination. And one more question before we go. You also spoke about having the ability to see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that's what kept you in the game, and that's what kept you hungry. So was it you having determination that allowed you to see the light at the end of the tunnel, or was it you being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel gave you your determination to keep fighting?
I think it was a little bit of both, but I was able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. This is the first time ever in life that I was able to really see it. I heard about it before. I heard about it being light at the end of the tunnel, but I never actually could see it. It was like around the corner. I couldn't see it. And when I got to Philadelphia, I really could see it. And which that pushed me forward to have more determination to make it. I didn't care how far down the line it was. I just knew it was there.
Wonderful. So to everybody that's out there listening, if you heard Corey's story, please let that be a testament to yourself. Whatever it is that you're going through, you can make it through it. Mr. Jackson, I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast and sharing your story, sharing your success, sharing your cleanness with us. And next year, we look forward to having you back and telling us about some more positive things that you got going on, some more people that you've been able to help out, and where you are in your process of opening up your own facility to be able to help more people. How's that sound?
Hey, it's always a pleasure, Sam. You know what I mean? I can't wait to come back and let you know about the success that I acquired, because I already know I'm going to the moon.
Beautiful. So with that, guys, you have a good evening or have a good morning wherever you are in the world that you're listening to this. I'm Sam Burwell. This is Diamond My Results, where the focus is on you and not the glitz and glamour. Hey, guys. So again, it's me, Sam, and I can't even express enough how I feel after having that interview. I mean, you take somebody who left the city that they were in to come to a brand new city with no friends, nothing in the pocket, you know, just whatever they were wearing, willing to take a leap of faith and being able to spread their wings and fly. And not only spread their wings and fly, but now being able to help other people learn how to spread their wings as well. Leaving a life of crime, leaving a life of drugs, to now being in a recovery program, getting himself together, to now helping others in that program that he was in himself, to now one day having dreams of opening up his own. The sky is the limit for anybody, as long as they have, in Corey's words, determination and being able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So with that being said, guys, stay focused. Till next time, I'm Sam Burwell, and this is Diamond Mine Results. Thank you.